Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning comes in the form of a question. The question is, palms or passion? Based on the reading from Mark 11, I share with you, especially these verses, listen to them again, please. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Again, our title, Palms or Passion. You'll find the sermon outline on the green insert. You're welcome to follow along. Notice you must turn it over at a certain point. Well, what day is it today? You think so, do you? Why all the commotion with the children processing and waving palms? Not too many years ago, I asked some children shortly after they did that, "Why'd you do what you were doing? Why were you waving palm branches?" And one smart little boy said, "To keep away the flies." Another child said, "To cool off Jesus." Well, of course not, but why? What day is it today? Now, you're quick to say, in fact, some of you keeners already said, Palm Sunday. Oh, really? Look at page number one in your worship folder. Will you turn there with me? The first page of your worship folder, the very heading of the service, it should read before you, Palms or Passion Sunday. And why is that? Over the centuries, the Christian church has called this very special Sunday, the Sunday a week before Easter, either Palms or Passion Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday is obvious. The Sunday, 1 week before Jesus is risen again, he enters into Jerusalem, the crowds welcome him, they're waving their palm branches, they're putting them in front of him like a red carpet, as Don said for the Oscars, shouting Hosanna. It's from the crowd we get the concept of Palm Sunday. But Passion Sunday refers to our Lord's passion, his pain and his suffering that he was about to endure as he made his way to the cross. And as he ended up on that cross for sinners like you and like me. Palms focuses on the crowd's reaction and their celebration. Passion focuses upon Jesus' suffering for our sins and the sins of the world. So the question for us today is this. Will it be palms or passion? When I was in my early teens, I was in a church passion play close to Easter time. A professional drama group had come through, enlisting people to be parts of people in the crowds shouting the praises on the Palm Sunday drama. The director of this event told those of us who were extras in the crowd, "Just pay attention to those men wearing the red turbans. They're your leaders. Do what they do and say what they say." This was really exciting for a young boy because there were many people watching this drama. Soon we looked up, and there came a man riding on a donkey. It was an actor playing the role of Jesus, and he looked just like Jesus. And I joined with everybody else in the crowd, waving and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord." Then we were escorted backstage. And the director said, "Follow the men in the red turbans again. Shout what they shout. Say what they say." We were brought back out to the stage and we looked up at a balcony and saw Jesus standing next to a character who was playing the role of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. By this time, Jesus was bloodied and he was beaten up. And then we were all to shout after Pilate said, "What shall I do with this man called Jesus?" We were to shout, and I shouted too, those horrible words with the crowd, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I yelled those words. I know I did. Because soon after, I was saying to myself, what am I saying? And suddenly I felt lightheaded and kind of cold and clammy. I felt I was almost going to faint. It was just a role I was playing. But it was so real. The crowd that praised Jesus with palms on that one Sunday. 5 days later on Good Friday were the ones who were the same people who were shouting, crucify him. They wanted Jesus with his palms and happy procession. But they wanted nothing to do with him with his cross and his passion and his pain. Today, we are the crowd that meets Jesus. Will we love him and stay with him and hold on to him in a time of passion and sorrow? Or will we just wave our palms when everything in life is happy and going just the way we want it to go? To say this in another way, do we want Jesus' lordship in our lives when things are tough and painful? Or do we just want him when the sun is shining and we're getting all that we want? You see, the Palm Sunday crowd was trying to make Jesus into the kind of Messiah they wanted so that their religion wouldn't get in the way for their search for the good life. For them, the good life included such things as an overthrow of the Roman government, no more having to pay Roman taxes, no more food rationing. But as a saying from the 1930s goes, they wanted a chicken in every pot and 2 cars in every garage. Hosanna! Yes, Hosanna! Save us now, Jesus, for my wants, for my desires, for my happiness. And Jesus, I'll wave my palms just so you get the point. But Jesus was not that kind of a Messiah. He came not to overthrow a government, but to overthrow sin, death, and the devil. He didn't come just to make us happy and give us our heart's desires. He came to forgive the sins of sinful humanity and make us right with an almighty and holy God. But this didn't fit in the want lists of the crowd. And so 5 days later, they shouted, crucify him. Now, here's a good question for you. Where do we get the idea that Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was a day that emphasized palms and happiness and celebration? Not really from Jesus. This came from the reaction of the crowd. What were Jesus' thoughts on this Palm Sunday event? What was he thinking about? Was it palms? Or was it passion? Certainly, this could have been one of the happiest days in Jesus' life. All Jerusalem was abuzz with excitement. He was finally receiving the praise and adoration he deserved. Yet, what had Jesus told his disciples many times before he came into Jerusalem? Listen to what he told them. Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He must be killed, on the third day be raised alive. Matthew 20. Jesus said, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed and condemned to death, and he will be crucified, and the third day be raised to life. Matthew 23, Jesus said, weeping, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, You who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I long to gather your children like a mother hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing to come to me. Why was Jesus sad and weeping over Jerusalem? The crowd cheered. Jesus wept. Despite their cheers, Jesus knew in his heart that they really didn't want him. They really didn't want his passion. They didn't really want his gospel. They wanted the palms and what they thought they could get out of Jesus for waving those palms. While the multitudes cheered, one man wept. Is Jesus weeping for us today? If he is, and I believe he is, it would be because we so often don't want to follow him in his suffering. We don't want to follow him with a commitment that might get in the way of all the things we're chasing after in this life. Jesus, we want you as a convenience, but not as a commitment. And if a commitment means, the commitment to you, Jesus, means laying aside what I think is really important in life, what the world around me tells me is the most important thing in life, my personal happiness, then Jesus, I'll wave my palms. I'll take you when you're convenient, but don't get in the way of what I think is really important in my life. Real commitment to Jesus and to His church and to His Word and to Bible class and to Sunday as His sacred day for many people in our world today is just too much to ask. This is a real battle today in our world. And it's not just out there in the world around us. It's in our own church as well. A question we need to be asking ourselves as individuals, as couples, as young families is this question. Is my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ a commitment or simply a convenience? This is a spiritual battle that's raging in our homes. Is the Lord and His house most important? Or is it simply one of a long list of to-dos on my busy list of life? And Lord Jesus, if your call to me to commitment gets in the way of chasing after what really makes me happy and gives me what the world around tells me is important, then Jesus, I'll wave my palms on Palm Sunday. But when Good Friday comes, I think I have a birthday party to go to. This truth is made very real to us on the first day of Lent that we call Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is that first day of Lent when we remember our sins that sent Him to the cross. For any of you who were here on February 17th at 7 p.m., upon your foreheads you received the sign of the cross in the form of ashes. Did you know that the ashes we use on Palm Sunday come from burnt palm branches from the Palm Sundays before? It's the church's historical and liturgical way of saying we repent of our sins of just palms waving, wanting Jesus for His convenience and the blessings He can give us. Ash Wednesday calls us Lent. Calls us. Holy Week, which is coming up this week, calls us to quit looking to Jesus just and asking the question, what's in this for me? And instead asking Him, Lord, how might I have more of a mind and a heart like You have? This indeed is the focus of today's epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2. That Ben read to us earlier. Briefly, it said this, Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death. Therefore, God the Father highly exalted him. Jesus never asked, Father, what's in it for me? He gave up the glories and splendors of heaven to become a human being, to give us life on the cross. And he did it for you and he did it for me. Jesus is both our Savior, but also our model. So here in Philippians 2, St. Paul exhorts us, have this mind among yourselves that you find in Christ Jesus. Now, before we leave this sermon, we have one unanswered question. What was going on in Jesus' mind on that day of palms and passion? What did that day mean to him? We've talked about what it meant to the crowd, but what did it mean to Jesus? The key to this answer is found in a title given to Jesus by John the Baptist on the first day of Jesus' public ministry, when John points to Jesus in the Gospel of John 1, verse 29, and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb is a very important concept in the entire Old Testament. When the children of Israel were leaving the slavery of Egypt, in that event we call the Exodus, they were commanded by God to slay a lamb and paint the lamb's blood on the doorposts of their house. So when God's angel of death came with the last and final plague for Egypt, he would pass over their homes, and they would be spared. And from that event with the lamb came the sacred festival we call Passover. Later, when the children of Israel had their own promised land and their temple, one day per year in a special event, the great high priest would take a lamb and sacrifice it for the sins of the entire people. And on that day, they would be assured their sins were forgiven. This day became known as Yom Kippur, the day of covering, the day of atonement. Again, the blood of the Lamb shed for the salvation of the people. And in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53, he identifies the Messiah who's coming, this Jesus who's coming. And he says, and I quote from Isaiah, "He will be like a lamb led to the slaughter." Isaiah describes the Messiah, Jesus, as one who takes upon himself our sins like a sacrificial lamb. And now, with all this in mind, the Passover lamb, the Yom Kippur lamb, the Lamb Messiah in Isaiah 53, picture Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the week before he goes to the cross. On that day, Jesus comes into Jerusalem to willingly offer himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now, what was the Jewish festival? What was the Jewish festival that just happened to be going on that Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem? The Passover. And what did each household in Jerusalem just happen to have for the Passover celebration? A lamb. And Jesus is entering Jerusalem at the same time when thousands of sacrificial Passover lambs are being brought into Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Coincidence? I think not. Here is a powerful proclamation of what Jesus was thinking about. Here is a powerful proclamation that he is the very Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb for your sins, thank God, and for mine. And on the Friday that was soon coming, on that Friday we call Good Friday, at the very same moment when all the thousands of households in Jerusalem were slaying the lamb for the sacrificial practice of Passover. Jesus, the Lamb, was dying at that very moment on the cross. Coincidence? I think not. Therefore, today can be celebrated as Palm Sunday. Today is a day we can rightfully wave our palms and give praise to God as we focus on Jesus' sacrifice and passion. As we do that, we have every right to wave our palms because we know that as we continue this week's journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, on our service Monday, Thursday evening, on the service of Good Friday, on Friday morning, the two services and activities on Easter Sunday, when we journey with Jesus this week to His cross and His death, there awaits Him the glories of the empty tomb and the shouts of praise. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Today is both Palms and Passion Sunday. In the name of Jesus, the Lamb is on His way for you. Amen.